everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. It is Monday. Good afternoon, everybody. And we got 3 hours here. Also, don't forget, folks, that deadline is coming up on our big poker tournament at the Commerce Casino. Now, the deadline to sign up for it is August 15th. I believe that's this week. Is that right? Is that Friday? Friday of this week, and the deadline is over. You will kick yourself right in the ass if you forget to sign up. Right in the ass if you forget to sign up. So here's what you do. The poker term is August 28th at the Commerce Casino. You email us your first and last name and your email address. It's very simple, folks. Very, very simple. Simplest thing you'll do on email maybe all year. And what you do is you email us at conwayshow@gmail.com. conwayshow@gmail.com, providing the Gmail is back up and running. It is? Okay. Had a problem there with Gmail today. conwayshow@gmail.com. And if you enter the contest or throw your name in the hat before Friday, then you have a possibility of playing in the August 28th poker tournament at the Commerce Casino. The Commerce is located off the 5 Freeway, just south of 710 and north of 605. It's always a great event and always the best event of the year for the listeners because it costs you nothing to get in. You play for free. There's $6,000 in prizes that the Commerce gives away and free food for the players. But in order to play, you have to sign up, and then you have to be selected by, I don't know, somebody in this building selects people. I don't know who does that, but somebody will do that. All right, conwayshow@gmail.com, conwayshow@gmail.com. All right, now I had something very depressing happen to me today, and I just can't shake it for some reason, and I can't understand why. But it feels like I was hit in the stomach with a 2x4 today. Now I come from a long family history of tremendous respect for people in uniform, and I can't tell you how much pride and respect I have for those young men and women serving over in Iraq. I mean, God bless those guys. Over there, kicking ass in Iraq. A lot of them don't want to be there. I imagine there's also someone there that don't know why they're there. But yet they're kicking ass over there and making every one of us over here, with maybe the exception of Wolf Blitzer, very proud. I also respect firefighters. My uncle was a firefighter. He was the fire chief, actually, at Detroit Airport back in Michigan. And he was one of the first guys on the scene when that Northwest airline crashed at Detroit Airport, and everybody died except one baby girl. And that sort of broke his spirit, and he was really never the same after that. But just a hell of a guy, and a real goddamn guy's guy. I mean, the chief, fire chief at Detroit Airport. My grandfather built tanks in World War II and was good friends with the chief of police in Sugar Falls, Ohio. And my father, Tim Conway, often performed at the LAPD Christmas dinner for the officers in the West Valley. They used to hold it right up off the 405. She's right up in the Mission. I don't even know what that area is called. Right before you get up into Castaic. Not Castaic, but north of Nordoff. Mission Hills?
Mission Hills, yeah.
Is that right? So, mm-hmm. So beautiful area up there. Anyway, they used to have a Christmas party every year. My dad, for absolutely, obviously, no money, he would just host it because, he thought these guys were doing a kick-ass job. And consequently, I got to meet a lot of them because they'd stop by, my dad's house. My dad was very friendly with a lot of LAPD officers. And so that respect also, extends to police officers as well. And I have two very good friends who I see almost every week, and I talk to them on the phone at least once or twice a week, and they're both with LAPD. One of them is a recently retired Detective Rudy Alvarez, and another one is Andy Herodera, who is a lieutenant on the west side. Two great guys. And I would trust either one of those two with my daughter before I would trust blood relatives, And I think my brothers know who I'm talking about. But I would trust either one of those two men with my daughter. And if I had to leave for a week, if I had to go to Europe for a week, and I said, Detective Rudy or, Lieutenant Andy, could you watch my daughter for a week? and I would never blink an eye. These are two outstanding officers with LAPD. And by the way, they were both at my wedding as well. And if I saw, you know, a bus about to hit either one of these two guys, I'd risk my life to save theirs, and I know they'd do the same thing for me. I hope. Maybe they would. I bet they would. I went to a very small gathering for Detective Rudy's retirement down at Parker Center. It was about 6 months ago or so. And I got to know Detective Rudy's family, and it's a great group of people. Very tight, brothers and sisters, and just an outstanding family, that Rudy Alvarez and his family. Then we have another 20 police officers who play at the Commerce Casino event. And Officer Jason, who always stops by, is another example of an outstanding officer with LAPD. And I think that 99% of the officers with LAPD are sensational. I really do. And I got a tremendous amount of respect for you guys. And so I give LAPD the benefit of the doubt when it comes to, you know, I really do think they're like the true heroes protecting a lot of people in Los Angeles from tremendous a-holes. And you know the a-holes that we can get out here in Southern California. They're class A. But I know that Detective Rudy and, you know, Lieutenant Andy, especially, and the officers we know from the Commerce Casino, I know these guys would never lie under oath. These are outstanding guys. And I just assumed that no LAPD officer would ever lie under oath until today. I happen to be at traffic court today, fighting a ticket that I got about 4 months ago, 3 months ago. I made a turn into a parking lot, then backed out onto Victory Boulevard because it was traffic. And a cop pulls me over, LAPD, and he says that was an illegal U-turn. And I said, well, what was illegal about it? First of all, it wasn't a U-turn. I went to the driveway. He said, well, you didn't break the plane of the sidewalk in the driveway. And I'm like, who knows that law? I mean, I don't even think it is. I've researched on the internet. I still can't find it.
Jesus
Talked to
Christ.
Police officers who said they've never heard of it either. So he wrote me up a ticket, and I said, all right, we'll see you in court, and we'll have the judge, you know, listen to both sides, and he'll make a determination on who's right and who's wrong. So I just assumed I would go into court today. And I probably wasn't as prepared as I needed to do because I didn't have, like, photographs or there was no witnesses. I didn't have a lawyer. I had nothing. I just walked in there by myself because I assume that the LAPD officer would not lie under oath. Everybody goes under oath at the beginning of the court. And the judge stands up or the bailiff and everybody swears to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and you raise your right hand. And I thought, okay, that's cool. You know, the cop's not going to lie under oath. Well, he did. Twice. And I caught him in one of the lies where he said I did a U-turn. And I said, no, I pulled into the driveway. I said, did you see me pull in the driveway? He said, yes, indeed, that he did see me pull in the driveway. So it wasn't a U-turn. And even the judge was, you know, sort of eyeballing him like, I wonder why he said it was a U-turn if a guy pulled in the driveway and then backed out. And then he said I made it from the wrong lane. I clearly made it from the middle lane. I didn't make it from the number one lane. I didn't put anybody in danger. And the judge decided that this officer, this LAPD officer, and his lies were better than my story.
Jesus Christ.
So I don't give a rat's ass. The ticket goes on my record. It'll be on there for 3 years. I don't have any other tickets on my record. The $159, the state can keep that. They can, you know, misspend that radically like they do almost every dollar they get. And then I thought, I'm driving out of there, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, man, if this LAPD officer is going to lie about a small U-turn, can you imagine what goes on if, God forbid, that LAPD officer had to fire a gun and he was fighting for his life? I imagine, you know, that, again, there'd be lie after lie after lie. And it was radically depressing leaving the courthouse. I didn't mind if the guy told the truth and I still lost to the judge because the judge doesn't know. He's in his, you know, 60s or so, just probably riding out a pension up there. And I couldn't believe walking out of there how depressed I was. I just assumed, all these guys would tell the truth. But if you've been a victim of this out there, you know, and again, every time I used to hear somebody'd say, oh, the LAPD planted coke on me, or they planted drugs on me, or they lied about this, I always gave them the benefit of the doubt. And I still think that about 99% of these police officers at LAPD are great. But to have a guy sit there under oath and lie about a small minor thing like that was radically, radically depressing. Has this happened to you? You got stung by these cops? 520-9710. It's our main number here in Southern California. 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. You know, like in every single business, you know, with here at CBS, you know, there's some a-holes that I work with here, you know, that are not indicative and not, you know, don't resemble the sort of slogan that CBS tries to use all the time, which is the Tiffany Network. There's a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there are a few people here that are very difficult to get along with and really, you know, not decent people. And so I imagine that extends to everywhere. You know, you work in a bank. There's going to be some a-holes who work with you in the bank. There's some a-holes who are, you know, cameramen in Hollywood, writers in Hollywood, directors in Hollywood. And there are people who lie and cheat and steal. But for, you know, I'm 44. I'll be 45 come October. And it was radically depressing to sit there in court and have this guy, this police officer, outright lie about the case. Now, if he said he didn't remember, that'd be one thing. But the guy actually lied about which lane I made that left turn in, and if indeed that turn was illegal. He said originally it was a U-turn, and I said, no, I made a left into the parking lot. And then afterwards, he corrected himself and said, oh, yeah, maybe I do remember you making that left in the parking lot. And I don't know what it is. I don't know, you know, whether growing up just thinking, you know, that I understand civilians lying under oath, especially if you're looking at a prison term. I mean, I think I'd be, you know, I'd also be right there with them when it comes to lying. But I think I probably held police officers on a higher level. Like, you know, maybe they'll lie about some big stuff, but they're not going to lie about a traffic ticket, right? Well, wrong. Let's talk to Marlon in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
All right.
You know, I'm calling about, I got a ticket. It's not similar, but, I went to court and everything. Cop said that I went over the speed limit, and I was at a red light. I was trying to catch up with a bus because I'm actually a driver for the disabled people. And the police officer said that I went over, you know, by 10 miles the speed limit. And there was no way that I could go over 10 miles the speed limit because I wasn't right on the red light. Now,
was it LAPD?
No, this one was actually West Covina.
West Covina.
Yeah. And actually, he caught me at 4:30 in the morning. And
did you have anybody on the bus with you?
Yeah, actually, you know, I deal with only blind people and disabled people.
What a-hole? Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. What a-hole gave you a ticket? I don't give a rat's ass if you were going 50 miles over the speed limit. You're dealing with blind and handicapped people all day long. You're doing like God's work. You know, there are a lot of people that would never do that, never take that job.
You know what? I deal with that. I'm in a row 12 hours a day, and the only people that have given me a break is actually Highway Patrol, in which I hear that Highway Patrol doesn't give you breaks. And I tell you what, Highway Patrol has given me a lot of, of course I go over 5 miles an hour, and they see that the people that I'm dealing with, some people are very mentally ill, and they give me a break.
So wait a minute, the cop pulls you over, and while you have blind people on your bus, and he writes you a ticket for going 10 miles over the speed limit?
That's what he says, and I was arguing, and he told me, you know what, I could take you to jail. And I said, okay, you know what, I care more about my customers. You know, they actually have to go to work, and okay, I'll fight it, and that's about it. You know,
did you fight it?
Of course.
Did you win?
Well, the guy didn't show up.
Good for you. You know, what you should have done real quickly. You stuck one of those blind guys in the driver's seat.
You know what? The good thing
over.
I had one of the blind guys. He was so good with me that he said, "I'll go with you that day of sport." And I actually picked him up and I took him to court with me just in case of you know, the cop was going to show up.
Yeah, what happens if the judge says to the blind guy, do you recognize the cop that pulled you over?
Yeah, that was a kind of, that would be kind of funny.
Yeah, you got to take out that stick and roll it over him. All right, Pablo, all right, I'm glad you got off, man. All right, take care of yourself.
All right, you too.
All right, thanks for doing that, too. All right, guy's driving around handicapped people all day, and a cop pulls him over and gives him a ticket. Jesus Christ, man.
Jesus Christ.
Holy smokes. Imagine how pissed you would be. I've been pulled over by the highway patrol. Let me see. Five times that I remember. I got a ticket maybe half the time, maybe three out of the five times. And without exception, every single time I was pulled over by a highway patrolman on the California freeways, every one of them was very courteous, very professional, and I don't have a single negative thing about to say about LAPD. I mean, highway patrol. Those guys are they're outstanding. Those guys bust their asses and risk their life too on these freeways with these lunatics driving every night. But no, and my experience with highway patrol has been great, and my experience with the sheriff's department has been good too, as well as Burbank Police Department. I've never had any problem. I've been pulled over twice in Burbank. Jeez, maybe it's me. I'm getting pulled over all the time. God almighty. Twice in Burbank I got pulled over, and I think I got one ticket. But again, strict in Burbank, but professional. Let's talk to Keith on the 405. You're on 97.1.
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
I'm telling you, until you've been through something like my family's been through, you can't believe it. Down here with the traffic ticket stuff, the piddly stuff, but when you get up with the detectives and all that, they lie like a dirty rug, those guys.
Is that right?
I'm telling you, they came to our house. A policeman, the detective next door to me, his son, accuses my son of doing something totally filthy. They come to my house at 1 in the morning, drag my son down to the police station, and grill him for 3 hours.
How old's your kid?
By himself. 13. They can do that in California.
They can?
They can. They can read a minor the Miranda rights and expect him to understand them. And those rats, I listened to the tape that this detective made, grilling my son for almost 3 hours in the middle of the night, getting him, forcing him to confess. And you know what? At the end of the night, when they promise him everything and threaten him with everything, the little kid cracks. And then you're stuck. And then in the meantime, when they have him, the two officers with all the stripes on their shoulders are grilling my wife and I at our house in the middle of the night. And when we didn't give them the information they wanted, they just started inventing it, and just fattening up the story that you don't get to see until like 3 or 4 months later,
right,
when they present to your attorney. And then, you know.
Oh, and then the time between they come over and the time you go to court or, you know, you see a judge, you're up all night thinking about it.
That's it, and you're stuck. Unless, believe me, all of you listeners out there, the number one thing you do when the police come to your house, you never talk to the police. You can go down to the police station later, bring your own recording equipment.
Right.
Because once you get into court, you're there, and all you say, well, Your Honor, we didn't say any of this stuff. And he goes, well, it's written right down here on official L.A. County Sheriff Department paperwork, so you must have said it. And you can't do anything to defend yourself. You never, listen to everybody, never, never talk to the police.
Yeah.
Say you want your attorney.
What did it cost you?
I'm up almost $100,000. My son has been taken away from us, my wife and I, for almost 2 years. Next month in September, it'll be 2 years.
What did he say to him? Can you talk about it on the air?
The police, the sheriff, detective, son next door, and my son didn't get along. He goes and cuts my son's hand. And then 3 days later, and I yell at this kid, tell him to get out of here and never come back to our house again. 3 days later, the police are knocking on our door. They put together the story that my son orally and anally raped him for over 2 months.
Oh, man.
Which is the biggest bunch of crap. You ever seen the little dealy bop on a 13-year-old? To Northridge Hospital, did a whole rape kit on everything, and everything's negative. But what happens? Because the police wrote all this stuff saying that my wife said my son did all this when she never said anything like it.
See, that's the benefit of being like me. If all they do is take my clothes off and go, nah, get out of here, kid.
You and me both. You and me both.
All right, I'm sorry that happened to you. So your son is still gone?
Oh, yeah. He's in El Monte. He's locked up in Almaty. We get to see him 1 hour on either Saturday or Sunday.
And then when does he come home?
They gave him 5 years. They charged him 4 counts, 2 oral, 2 anal.
Ugh.
So 4 counts. They drug us down in there so far that they promised us that if we pleaded to one of the counts, he could go home. We go in there, my son, me, we're bawling like babies in there, saying no contest to 1 count. They gave him 10 years and 8 months.
Jesus Christ.
Those lions, lion rats.
It makes you want to leave California, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm out of here. Well, as soon as he's done, I don't care. I got a very nice job right now.
Yeah.
I'm quitting that. I'm heading back to Missouri.
Yeah. All right, buddy, I'm sorry that happened to you, dude. Call us and give us an update.
All right, well,
all right, you take care of yourself.
Bye.
All right, there he goes. All right, LAPD officer lies in court, and it cost me $159 this morning. And the $159 doesn't mean a lot, but it did mean a lot that these cops, that cop would lie under oath. A little depressing. Does this happen to you? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Went to a traffic court today. LAPD officer, a rat, lied twice in court. Cost me $160. And has this happened to you? George in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1. Hey.
Hey, Tim?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Tim. You know, I feel bad for you, man. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Well, there he goes. Let's talk to Sharon in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi, Tim. Oh, thanks for bringing this subject up. And no, you don't get a lot of tickets. The police just stop people a lot, so I'm in that group with you, too. But I don't even know which subject to get on, because the police stopped me one day. It was a three-way stop, and I stopped at the stop sign. He was in his cruiser. I saw him because naturally we scoped him out, and I spotted him right away. And he was looking down while I was stopping at the stop sign. I was on my cell phone. That was back in the day when you could talk on your phone. And when he looked up, I was proceeding on because I had already made my stop. Well, he took off after me with his lights blazing, and I never dreamed he was after me because I stopped. And so he told me, oh, I thought I was going on a high-speed chase with you, because I kept going because I never dreamed he was after me for what.
Right.
But when he pulled me over, he told me I ran a stop sign. I said, no, I didn't. He was a young officer in airport police over there by LAX. And so I said, no, I didn't. I said, you were doing something in your cruiser, and you were looking down. And I just told him, he said, no, I didn't. And he was just real nasty and cocky and everything about it. So I didn't argue with him because it was my first time ever being stopped.
Right.
And so I went to court. I drew a diagram. I took the court. I had to go to Santa Monica court. And so when I walked in with my diagram, the judge, you know, asked us what happened. And so the judge sided with me. I told him, you know, he
good
was looking
you
down, and he was on his doing something on his PBA or in his cruiser or whatever. And so he stormed out the courtroom like a little boy with his helmet in hand. And so the judge said, well, somebody's very disappointed. And he slammed the door on the judge. But my thing is,
you know what? If you would have slammed the door on the judge, you would have been arrested for that.
I would have been arrested. You are so right about that. And so it's not you, it's them. They're taught that in the academy to be liars. They could be good people starting out, little Catholic school boys. But once they leave out of that academy, they turn into animals. And it's terrible. I have two cousins that's LAPD officers, and they are totally different people than we knew them as children as we were growing.
Yeah, you know what I do now? I mean, after today, I was driving home, and there was a police officer that was behind me. I pull over now and let him go. I don't want any piece of him.
Just let him go. There you go. There you go. So thanks, hands.
Sorry
up
that
to
happened.
You know.
I'm glad you won, though.
Okay,
all
thanks,
right, take
Tim.
Care, Sharon. There she goes, man. Good for her. All right, you guys getting nailed by these cops, LAPD? Let's talk to Stan in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1.
Hey, Tim, great show.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, just wanted to let you know that, you know, a traffic ticket is one thing, but if you look at the history of LAPD with their domestic violence issues, you'll find that LAPD is paid by the federal government for every male domestic violence abuser that they take to court and get a conviction on.
Is that right?
It's absolutely true. Under the Victims of, VAWA, which is the Violence Against Women Act, which is a federal law, federal government pays LAPD every year for every male.
So in a domestic dispute, what you're saying, and again, I can't confirm this, but what you're saying is that the likelihood of you being arrested if you're a guy is much higher than if you're a woman.
99%. Hmm. In fact, if you look at the California law, you will see that if you are an officer who responds to a domestic violence call, you are to provide the victim with a woman's shelter phone number and information.
How do you know this?
You look at the California law.
Okay.
It's been challenged this year as being unconstitutional. Also, if you're convicted of domestic violence, you are to pay restitution to a woman's shelter, not a man's shelter, not a person's shelter,
right,
but a woman's shelter of $1,000. Now, if you're a male and you're a victim of domestic violence, how does that help you?
Nothing.
And,
you know, Steve Allen had a pretty good line. He said he was doing, you know, Steve Allen is, right?
Yeah,
he's he used to have his own show. Very funny guy, the Steve Allen Show. But he said he was doing a charity for the I can't, maybe I shouldn't even say it, but it was for a charity for the Tempura House for lightly battered women.
Well, it's not a
it's a Steve Allen joke. It's not mine, so don't get down on me and email my ass, you sons of bitches.
Not a bad one. Not a bad one. But the whole thing is, in my case, you know, I didn't know my girlfriend was bipolar, and I didn't know she would go off on me. But I was trapped into a situation where
you didn't know that eventually I would marry her.
Yeah. Well, actually, she was your nurse.
she's not listening.
But anyway, she ended up, you know, accusing me of after taking a couple swipes at me and me wanting to leave her apartment, calling 911 and saying I pushed her. You know, yeah, I pushed her away.
Right. Yeah, but you can't do that anymore. Like, if a chick comes up and is in your face, you can't even grab her shoulders to, you know, to protect yourself.
You know, my best advice is if you're ever dealing with that, get the hell out of there as fast as possible, but wait around for the cops.
Yeah. All right, buddy, thank you for calling, man. Stan, we got a lot of calls here. We really appreciate the call. Robert in Corona, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
All right, man.
Hey, yeah, my story is kind of similar to that other guy who called about his son, but I used to be a police officer, and you know, I worked for a department, and I had a very corrupt supervisor. He actually ended up getting like investigated and fired and all this other stuff, but
right.
Basically, he had like some kind of personality, you know, he had some kind of personal grudge against me, I guess, because that's pretty much all I can think of. But, you know, he used to lie in reports about me and like write me up for stuff and that he said that he saw me do that never happened. And, you know, if I refused to sign the write ups, he basically told me that he'd fire me on the spot. And so, you know, after about 10 months while I was still on probation, you know, they had so much stuff in my jacket that he had put in there against me, you know, basically saying that I didn't know what I was doing and I was, you know, like a retard. And so they fired me and, you know, completely blackballed me from ever being a cop again because of all the stuff that was in my jacket. And even after I found out that he himself had got investigated and fired for all the, because like finally, like all the stuff that he ever did finally came out in the wash.
Right. And they still wouldn't reinstate you?
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't even take a look at my case because then they would have to admit wrongdoing on his part, and they didn't want anything to do with it. So, I can never be a cop again. Like I worked my whole life to be a cop. And
how long were you on the force?
I was only on the force for 10 months. I was still on probation, which is basically a free for all period for them to do whatever they want to do to you. If they like you, they keep you. If not, then they figure out a way to fire you. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, yeah. I mean, ever since then, I don't trust cops at all. You know, I mean, having been one and then knowing what they're like, I stay away from cops. If I find out somebody's a cop, I don't even try to associate with them.
Oh, is that right? Even friends, huh?
Yeah, even friends. I mean,
yeah,
I have
a couple of friends that are good friends that are LAPD officers. One's a retired detective, and one's a current lieutenant, and those guys are terrific. But
yeah.
I think that's the last generation. You know, I think this new generation, these young, like, you know, hothead cops.
Yeah, and you're basically like, you know, you're basically groomed to be that way, like the other lady said. You know, when I was a police officer, even for the short time, I mean, I had such an attitude problem that I essentially alienated all my friends and family. And,
is that right?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's not just a job you do, it's like a persona you become.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like expected of you. You're expected to act a certain way.
Yeah, so when you get home, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, no, it's like once that switch gets turned on, you're like that 24/7. And I had so many people that hated me. It took me years to mend fences and repair the relationship.
Wow. Well, what are you doing now?
Now I'm a financial advisor.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You got a website?
No, I work for a company. Work for a small brokerage.
Yeah, I tell you, this also bothered me because when they pulled me over, they told me to shut the car off, which I understand. So I shut the car off, and it's 90 degrees out that day, and I have my 2.5-year-old daughter in the back of the car there.
Right.
And so about 10 minutes into him writing up this ticket, I get out, and I said, hey, can I turn the... He yells at me. He goes, get back in that car. I didn't tell you to exit the vehicle.
Right.
And I said, dude, I have a 2.5-year-old in the back here. It's about 97 degrees in this car, and she's complaining that it's hot. I got to turn the air conditioning on. He goes, all right, you can turn the air conditioning on, but don't put that car in drive.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you think I'm going to do? Haul ass here with my 2.5-year-old in the back?
Oh,
think we're going to go on a high-speed chase here?
Who knows?
Oh, man. But, I mean, you know what? But if I would have gone into Vons and left my kid in the car for 10 minutes, as long as it took him to write that ticket, they would have arrested me when I got out there.
Oh, yeah, big time. They're taking your kid away and everything.
Yeah, and the kid would have been gone, and it would have been a whole big deal.
Yep.
All right, thanks, dude. Sorry that happened to you, Robert.
Thanks.
All right,
thanks,
there he goes, everybody. All right, have you been effed over? Lied to under oath by these LAPDs. It's happened to me. It happened to me this afternoon, about 2:00 this afternoon. LAPD officer lied twice in court, and the judge threw the book at me, so to speak. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. Hiding low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath? Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in the town. So won't you be around?
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. I got killed this morning in court, this afternoon. LAPD officer, that rat, lied under oath, ratted me out. And consequently, I lost the ticket. I got this on my record for 3 years now. That dude lied. That officer lied twice in court today. Sons of bitches. Mike in Hollywood, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I just, I guess that people are getting a bad idea about the LAPD. Mm. I wanted to kind of correct that perception as much as I could.
Well, you take a shot.
Well, I've been on the job about 2 years, and I can tell you I completed probation about a year ago, and that gentleman that called in earlier that got fired from the job, in order to get fired from this job, you have to be a special kind of idiot. I mean, you really have...
Well, you know, but it was not in LAPD. It was down in Costa Mesa, I believe. I don't know where the guy was calling from. It was in Orange County, and they might have a different set of rules than you guys do.
I just know that it takes a lot because it's...
Hey, Mike, listen, I know. Listen, I think that 99% of LAPD officers and 99% of the Sheriff's Department, I think they're all great guys. But you know as well as I do, there's some lying rats in that LAPD.
Well, in every job, certainly.
Yeah, and I experienced one today. That son of a bitch sat there in that chair and lied to the judge, and the judge bought it. And it really busted my spirit because I assumed up until today... That a police officer would never lie under oath, and now I'm completely convinced it's the opposite.
Well, I missed the first part. What did you get convicted of today?
First degree murder.
Wow, yeah. That's tough.
I know. I have to report in September, mid-September.
What traffic citations did you get?
No, it was a U-turn, but it wasn't a U-turn. I made a left turn into a driveway, then backed out of the driveway and proceeded the other way. And,
right.
And he said that was a U-turn. I said, it's not a U-turn. I mean, I can draw a U for you. That's, going to a driveway and backing out is not a U. My daughter, who's 2.5, could draw a better U than that. So he said that he admitted that I did go in that driveway.
Uh-huh.
After cross-examination, by the way, which I blasted on him.
Yeah.
And the judge said, did he go in the driveway? He said, yes, he did go in the driveway, but he didn't break the plane of the sidewalk.
Okay.
And break the plane of the sidewalk. The judge sort of looked at him cross-eyed.
Right.
And then the judge asked me, he goes, was that a safe turn you made, young man? And I said, well, thanks for the compliment, but I'll be 45 come October. And I said, yeah, I think it was a safe safe turn that I made. And he goes, guilty.
Well, what about the other one?
The other lie was he lied about what lane I made it from. I made it from that rest lane. You know that lane that's between, there's three lanes, and there's that middle lane, then there's three more lanes?
Yeah.
What's that center lane called?
The emergency lane.
The emergency lane. I pulled in the emergency lane and then made it from there. He said I made it from the number one lane going eastbound. He lied about that. And he was in front of me. He could have seen where I made that turn from because I was up next to him when I made it.
Well, I can tell you that's not been my experience.
Listen, you've only been in there for 2 years. You wait till you're in there 20 years. You'll call me in 18 years and go, you know what? You're right. They're all rats.
But you said there was a lieutenant who's retired. He was a pretty good guy.
No, they didn't say a detective. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I say 99% of you guys are doing a kick-ass job. But there's some super a-holes in L.A., in LAPD, like there are in every business.
They wreck it for everyone, I know.
Yeah, and those guys will lie under oath, and I just didn't experience that until they, and now I did, and it's depressing, depressed out of my mind over it.
Well, I'll apologize for that guy.
Thank you, sir. And if you see me on the streets, look the other way. I'm not doing anything wrong.
I'll look the other way for you.
All right, be safe out there, all right?
Thanks.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right,
there he goes, everybody. A decent LAPD officer right there, a guy named Mike. Probably wouldn't lie under oath. Like Randy Wang would never lie under oath. Is that right?
Never.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Robert. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
How's it going, Tom?
All right.
Okay, Tom.
Yeah.
I was pulling out one time from a liquor store.
Great.
Bought a six-pack on a Friday because I got paid.
Great.
The cops, I get pulled over. I don't know, this guy came out of nowhere. Maybe they hang out right there in that liquor store. Just, hey, let's just mess with this guy today.
Oh, boy.
So I bought a six-pack.
Right.
I put it right there on the front seat with the bag. I haven't opened one. It was closed because I was going to, not too far away from my home.
Yeah.
So the cop pulls me over. He started questioning me. I go, how are you doing, officer? He goes, nothing. He just pulled me over because he said that turn I made was too fast.
Oh, wait.
So he pulls me over, and then he takes my license, goes back to his car. And he comes back and goes, can you please get off the car?
I said,
sure, officer.
Boy.
He sits me on the curb, and then all of a sudden, I see two more cops come up.
Right.
So then, while they were talking, they went back to my car. They popped open all my beer, threw it all over my carpet, and they're saying, what was open? Were you starting to drink one? I go, yeah. The officer pulled me over. He seen the bag was closed. It was, He goes, what did you have in the bag? And I told him I had some beer. I didn't lie to him.
So, well, you should dump that bitch.
So what he did, he dumped all of them. He dumped all of them. And they said, oh, man, that's messed up.
Here you go, dear. Jay in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear what happened to you today, and I can feel your pain, man, because the same thing happened to me about 4 to 5 years ago, and I was just literally shocked that this actually happened in the courtroom, that the cop lied. It was a simple traffic violation.
Yeah, but see, I always assume that, if a cop's going to lie, why not wait till you get to, the death penalty phase,
Exactly. I was just shocked that they would do it over something so stupid and innocuous.
Yeah, it really is ridiculous.
I prepared this entire case. I presented it. I cross-examined the cop. He lied in one major way, and I wasn't prepared for that, so I was thrown by that. But at the end of the trial, the judge said, you have presented such a good case today. You presented a better case than most attorneys that come in here.
Wow.
And I assume you're not an attorney, right? No, I'm not an attorney. But I'm sorry, I'm going to have to rule you guilty, you know. And I was flabbergasted by that.
Yeah, the judge did that to me today, too, because I thought I put on a pretty decent case. I got around the fudging
right.
of LAPD pretty good. And then the judge, you know, here's a mistake I made. I looked on the calendar. You know, they keep a calendar in the courtroom. And I see that last week was all black X's, right?
Right.
So this guy's had 10 days off, and I'm his first case back. Of course he's got to get his feet wet. On me, on my dime.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure, that, you know, the judge, he doesn't know. I mean, you know, he's sitting there depressed out of his mind. He's probably, this guy's probably in his 60s. There are Supreme Court justices that are, you know, younger than he is, and he's trying to figure out who jaywalked and who didn't.
Right.
You know, he's, you know, he's more depressed than I am in there.
I was so sad. Well, I'll tell you, I actually appealed this ruling, and when I went to the settled statement hearing, the judge couldn't remember the case. And this was a guy who was also on the older side, you know, maybe 60, 65.
Right.
And I don't care how old he is, but he says they can't remember the case. So if you'd like, I'll give you a brand new trial. You can do it in front of a different judge, and you can start all over. And I said, okay, that'd be great.
How'd you do?
So
we got to go.
All right. So I got a second trial hired in this case.
Right.
I appealed that.
Wait, so you lost the second one as well?
I lost the second one. It's because the cop lied again. He told
a
different lie.
How dare they? Don't they have the transcript from the first one? They have the audio from the first one?
Things that we don't audio these,
right, you
these
can't,
trials.
You can't keep using the guy's name. But they should have audio of the trial. I'm sorry that happened to you, buddy. I feel your pain. I mean, Jesus Christ, we're all just trying to get by here. The economy sucks. People are paying through the nose for everything, gas, food. Nobody has the money to pay for a $159 illegal U-turn. And mine wasn't even illegal. I will go to my goddamn grave believing that I did nothing wrong. Nothing. All right, Gina, what's going on with that news at 9?
Well, Bush makes a half-hearted cameo at the Olympics, and John Edwards makes a half-hearted cameo on 2020. We'll talk about both of these and more after the break.
Oh, boy. All right, right now, to lighten it up a little, David Letterman's top 10 list, the top 10 signs your monkey's a genius. He's a genius.
He's smarter than you.
All right, easy. Top 10 signs your monkey's a genius. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. When I get lonely and I'm sure I've had enough.